So our text for this morning's meditation is from the prophet Isaiah, the 55th chapter. These words, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I think that one of the worst things that can happen to us, one of the worst things that can happen to us in our lifetimes, is when someone we love stops talking to us. Yes, one of the worst things that can happen to us. Something like that has ever happened to you, you know how terrible such a situation actually is. One moment, we are part of that person's life, completely and wholly hearing about all the things that they are thinking and doing and what they want to do, their dreams, their hopes, their aspirations. And then the next moment, nothing. Absolutely nothing. Silence. It is, and it can be, like that person has died. At least when it comes to us. Because their death would, for all intents and purposes, result in the exact same thing. No communication from them whatsoever. No words, no speech, nothing. Maybe you find yourself in just such a situation this morning with a loved one. And so you know, it's nothing short of horrible. But as long as they're still living, of course, as long as they're still living, there is hope. Hope that they will speak to you once again, for yes, it is true. It is true. We can talk to all sorts of people every single day. People at the gas station, people at the coffee shop, people at the Cub food store, people at work. I mean, if we wanted to, we could talk all day long with complete strangers on the internet. Now, I wouldn't suggest that you do that. But it can be done. And it is done. But none of those conversations would be the same as the conversations, the words, the speech that we have with someone we love. For what they say to us, what our loved ones say to us is on the whole, it's on a whole different level, isn't it? For their words to us aren't just surface level banter, not idle chit-chat, not social formality or communication by which a paycheck is received. No, when someone we love speaks to us, their words go into our ears and into our minds and right down to our hearts. So when they stop speaking to us, our hearts break. They break. Well, what if it is actually we ourselves? What if we are the ones who stop speaking to a loved one, to someone who loves us? And in the process of not speaking to our loved one, we also are refusing to listen to them, to what they have to say to us, to speak with us, to communicate with us. It's truly a problem for us because that's what we do so often. That's what we do when it comes to our Heavenly Father, to God, our loving Heavenly Father, to God who is love and God who loves us, to God who speaks to us, who talks to us, shares his heart with us. I mean, it is odd that God does love us, that he loves us, and he wants to talk to us, and he does talk to us through his holy word, and he continues to talk to us as his Spirit brings to mind what he has said to us in the past. And what he has said to us in the past, we think about. That is, we think about it unless we don't think about it. And we simply don't listen. And we don't want to listen. Conscientiously, we try not to listen. Why do we do that? Why do we stop listening to our divine loved one, to God, our loving Heavenly Father? Well, the obvious reason is that our old Adams within us, they don't like what God has to say to us. We don't like it when God points out, even in a most loving fashion, that what we're thinking is really not what we should be thinking, and what we're saying not really what we should say, what we're doing not what we should do. But for the life of us, we can't understand why a loved one stopped talking to us and stopped talking to us when we did the same thing to them, when we said something that upset them. How hypocritical then are we? How hypocritical? We just don't understand when a loved one stops talking to us, but we feel justified ourselves in not talking to God and not listening to him. Of course, none of this would matter if our words to our loved ones didn't have power. They were just words, words like at the gas station, the coffee shop, Cub Foods, at work. But our words to our loved ones do have power. And God's words to us even more so. And in fact, that's the reason they can hurt. That is God's words to us. The reason they can bite, the reason they can sting and anger and cause unrest is because the word of God is accompanied by the Holy Spirit, who causes it to be effective within us, working upon us, entering our minds and hearts and staying there, just like those huge electronic billboards all over the cities constantly addressing us as we drive by with a change of the screen and a new message. The reason the Word of God is so powerful, why is it so powerful? Why does He make it so powerful with His Holy Spirit? It's because He loves us and He cares for us. And He wants us to live and love and learn, not by our stupidity or our mistakes or our ignorance, not by our suffering, but simply by listening. Listening to His word and rejoicing that God, our loving Heavenly Father, is talking to us. And in His talking to us, merely in His talking to us, He's showing us that He loves us. Now, interestingly enough, it's the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who in Scripture is called what? The Word of God. Have you ever noticed that? Jesus in Scripture is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. We read that first part of the Gospel of John. Now, why? Why is the Son of God, why is Jesus called the Word? Well, isn't Jesus the ultimate expression of God to us? Of His speaking to us? Visibly demonstrating for us in His person what He has said to us in His Word? Isn't that what Jesus is? God's speech and action visibly right there before us. In Matthew 9, Jesus caused a controversy by saying to a paralytic man that his sins were forgiven. Who can do such a thing? That is, forgive sins. That's what the response was of the people around that. When they heard Jesus say that, who can forgive sins? And Jesus' answer, which is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or rise and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, He then said to the paralytic, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And he rose and went home. In other words, what is the ultimate result of the Word of God there? Not just the forgiveness of sin in some sort of abstract sense. forgiveness of sin, assuaging the paralytic's mind of guilt and shame. Yes, it was that, and it is that. It was that and is that for us as well. The forgiveness of sin through faith in Jesus is real and true forgiveness. Forgiveness that we hear in our ears and realize in our minds and feel in our hearts. But what visibly represented that forgiveness there in Matthew 9? But the fullness and completeness of restoration in that man. Rise, pick up your bed and go home. That ultimately was the end result of the forgiveness. That is what can be seen and felt and touched. And that is what all who believe in Jesus will themselves experience on the last day. When we're raised from the dead, our souls once again reunited with our bodies, no longer plagued by sin and death, but then sinless and holy. And as the healing of the paralytic showed everyone there that day, the meaning of the forgiveness of sins, the word, your sins are forgiven. So Jesus himself, in his appearance on earth among us, demonstrated to us the word of God, I love you. If God didn't love us, he wouldn't have sent his son to us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. If he didn't love us, he wouldn't have sent his son to us. So Jesus represents God's love. And I forgive you. Jesus represents God's forgiveness. And I'll be with you. Jesus represents God's eternal presence. I won't abandon you. My word working constantly within you. In other words, if we want to know God's word to us, his speech, his thoughts, we look to and embrace and believe in his son, Jesus Christ, the very word of God. And he himself demonstrates, Jesus, the word of promise, the forgiveness to us, visibly even yet today. How does he do that? How does Jesus represent our forgiveness visibly to us? Well, he says to us, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sin. You know, at Christmas, at birthdays, anniversaries, we give a little oomph to our expressions of love for each other, to our words of love, by doing what? By placing them within a beautiful card. Now, what is such a card but the physical manifestation of the words that it contains? That's exactly what the Lord's Supper is for us, the bread and wine, having present within them also the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus sacramentally, that which was given and shed for us for the remission of our sin by God, our loving Heavenly Father himself. So summing up, God speaks to us his words. He sends to us his words in his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in Jesus is present even sacramentally, that is mysteriously and wondrously among us still in the bread and wine of the Lord's Supper. Now, these are all God's word to us, accomplishing what he purposes, succeeding in the thing for which it is sent, working faith in our hearts, assuring us that our sins are forgiven, inspiring us to serve one another in love, causing us to live each day, looking forward in hope. So really the only problem in this whole reality of our existence is ourselves. Let's admit that. Let's have an honesty moment. It's not that God doesn't talk to us. He does, continually through his word. It's just that we're always tempted to turn around and walk away, to turn around and walk away from the very word of God, Jesus himself, just like many of his disciples did in John chapter 6. Now those who walked away there from Jesus, they just couldn't get it. They couldn't get the fact that Jesus and the sacrifice that he was going to make for the sins of the world, God, who is love, was demonstrating his ultimate love for mankind. So at that time, Jesus, seeing this, seeing people walking away from him, no longer listening to him, what does Jesus do? He turns to the 12. He turns to the 12, we read there, and he asks them, do you want to go away as well? Do you want to go away as well? Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life, and we believed and have come to know that you're the Holy One of God." Well, through our baptisms into Christ, we have also believed and come to know that Jesus is the one that has the words of eternal life. He's the Holy One of God. God's word to us made visible among us. His word going forth, not returning to him empty, accomplishing what he purposes. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and to life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostle.